Hallelujah. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to Reign Embassy. Listen, we are doing the Jesus mode. We are killing it over here, okay? We are destroying the enemy, and we are taking a hold of our identity through understanding the Jesus mode. We are determined to walk out the Jesus mode. We are determined to live in the Jesus mode. Listen, this is Jesus Mode Part 3. I'm Apostle Janita Collins, and I'm ready to go. If you were with me on last week or last Tuesday, then you know where we are. If you are new to us today, then I'm going to encourage you to go back so that you can catch up, because you'll be lost in the sauce. If you don't understand, you're not going to understand where I'm coming from, okay? Now, with that being said, our new journey will develop our kingdom nature. Listen, I am on here every Sunday and every Tuesday to help you to develop your kingdom nature. I know that you've developed your church nature, but now it's time to move into the Jesus mode. And in order to get into the Jesus mode, you must be in his kingdom, and you must have his nature. You must have his identity. You must have his mind. You must have his heart. You must have his nature. You must have his character. Listen to me. We're going to walk together through this governmental-based response, right? That's rooted in obedience and identity. I'm going to keep telling you every week that, listen, we're fighting for our identity. And the only way to fight for our identity and to know that we're winning is that we're able to walk in obedience and walk in our eternal identity. Anything outside of that, I promise you, is a man-made identity or man-made response. Come on here. I wanted to slow down and get you to realize and think about the fact, am I responding from day to day from my man-made identity? In other words, what you think you are and who you think you are, not who God says you are. I like to call being able to live in eternal identity, the Jesus mode. Why? Because Jesus is a leader of the wheat and not the tare. I'm going to keep saying that to you because I need you to understand that the tare is not led by God. The tare is led by man, a church made with human hands. Listen, I need you to understand that the sheep of Jesus Christ are obedient. They live in obedience. They fight for obedience. They war for obedience. They do not war for their own feelings, for their own desires, and for their own sentiments. And listen, I need you to understand that they have obligated themselves to the King of all kings, to the Lord of all lords. Listen to me and listen to me well. The day that you commit yourself to being obedient and obligated to the King, to his kingdom, and to his people, your life is going to change. The markers on your life will be revealed that you are walking with Jesus the Christ and not walking as a tare for yourself. Come on here this morning. This is a Jesus posture. And you must find yourself from moment to moment living in the Jesus posture. What is the Jesus posture? I'll tell you exactly what it is, because it is the sonship in the identity of your salvation when you can do just as Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Are you a son, or are you in church for fun? Are you a son, or do you show up to the church community for fun? Come on here. You may be wondering why I teach this Jesus mode. I want you to understand that I teach the Jesus mode for one reason and one reason alone. I need Jesus people, those who are called by his name, that are stuck out here in false doctrines and in false churches that are proclaiming to be for Jesus Christ. I need you to understand that the enemy has infiltrated the churches with one mission, and that mission is to steal, to kill, and destroy you. I'm not preaching this for me. I'm preaching it for you. I want you to understand that when you go to these houses and when you pay your tithes and when you spend your time and when you allow these people to speak into your life and they're not in the Jesus mode, I want you to understand that they have one intention and one intention alone, and that is to steal from you, that is to kill you, and that is to destroy you. Come on here this morning. Keep your mind centered in truth, and you'll find it far easier to keep your covenant with Jesus the Christ. This is why I teach and preach the way that I do. I want you to take down these scriptures, because I will be in and out of these scriptures today. I started last Sunday. I brought it forth on last Tuesday, and I'm bringing it forth today again, because this is too meaty for us to just think that we can hit it and quit it. That's the problem with the church today. They like to hit it and they like to quit it. They like to hit it and they like to quit it. They're not in real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in real relationship with the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. They like to hit it and they like to quit it. In other words, they like to come in for this Sunday service and get a little hit, a little bit of word. Don't give them too much, because you're going to knock them out. Just give them a little drop of the word, and they're going to say yes and amen. They're going to pay their little tithes or not, and then they're going to walk out the door and do what they always do. Come on. Come on. Y'all ready to take down these scriptures?
Yes.
All right. John 10, Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Luke 15, 4 through 7, Luke 10 and 19, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Lamentations 3 and 22 through 23, 3, 22 through 23, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, 2 Timothy 1, 7, Isaiah 59 and 19, in Matthew 16, 24 through 25. Now, you know, I went through John 10 intentionally and intensely last Sunday. Then I hit it again on Tuesday. I want you to understand the gate, the shepherd, and the outlaws. I want you to read it from that perspective. I want you to read it from the perspective of understanding the purpose of the gate, the purpose of the shepherd, and the purpose of the outlaws, because everything has a purpose. Now, I need you to understand that the truth of the matter, as I spoke about, is not everyone who climbs into the fold is sent by God. I talked about that last Sunday. Jesus names the difference in John 10 and 1. What did he say? He that entereth not by the door is a thief and a robber. Listen to me. What do you do with a thief or a robber? Do you pet them and say, thank you for breaking into my house and taking my goods? I'm so grateful for you. Let's hang out. Stick around. Let's do dinner. Let's do lunch. Let's do break. You know what? Stay around for a few weeks and keep taking from me. Is that how you respond? Yes, it is. Let me tell you. Because when sin comes knocking at your door, when your sentiments come ruling and reigning over you, you say, hey, stay a while. Let's hang out. You give them weeks and hours of your time. You take them to breakfast. You take them to dinner. You take them to lunch. You can't tell me no. Oh, y'all should have known I was setting you up. You should have known I was setting you up. Why? Because I have to help you to analyze your own disposition. I have to help you to analyze your own mind. I have to help you to analyze your own responses. I have to help you to grow and develop. If I don't address it from this manner, you'll never be able to have the mind of Christ nor understand how the mind of Christ functions to keep you. Come on here. You hang out with the thief and the outlaws all the time. This ain't going to work. I need 40 ounces. Not 40 ounces like back in the day. I'm talking about my water is low. I drink a lot of water. Okay? But Jesus said something. He responded to this thought process. He gave you the answer. He said, wait a minute. In verse 10, I am the good shepherd. He declared that he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Oh, come on here. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So I need you, one, to stop assuming that every leader is for you. Come on, church. I'm speaking to the church. I need you to stop assuming that every leader that has a Facebook, that has a profile, that says that it is here to teach you the word is for you. Because Jesus already told us how to discern a good shepherd. And the fact that you live in your sentiments, that's why I've been hammering out your sentiments, because your sentiments keep you under bad leadership, wayward leadership, false leadership. Leadership that doesn't really care about you, that's only leading for its own self. Pride. All right. I started out, I want you to understand the gate, the shepherd, and the outlaws, right? Because Jesus already told us to discern. Look for the door. Look for the way that they bring you in. Look for what they ask of you and compare it to the scripture. Is it leading you back to Jesus Christ, or is it leading you back to them? Is it leading you back to their church? Is it leading you back to their house? Or is it leading your soul out of hell? Come on here. Listen for his voice. Are they walking you through this scripture and showing you as I am? Wait a minute. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Are they helping you to stay and lean to your own understanding? Are they petting your devils? Are they petting your likes? Are they agreeing with the things that you don't want to let go of? Are they preaching a gospel of inclusion? Are they preaching a gospel of it's okay? A watered down gospel that doesn't address any soul issues that are going to send you to hell. Listen for his voice. Watch for the ones who lay their lives down. Are they using their voice to preach the true gospel? Are they laying their lives down? Are they preferring you to live and not die? Is that their preference? Come on here. Is their preference for you to live and not die? Is their preference for you to come out of darkness? Is their preference for you to come out of your lost mind and your lost identity and find your identity and your mind in Jesus the Christ? Is that their preference for you? Is that what they're pressing you towards? Come on today. Outlaws climb walls. They don't enter in the correct way. They're not righteous. They climb your walls. They infiltrate your soul. They infiltrate your mind to kill you, to destroy you, to leave you ravished. How many of you out there have been ravished in these churches? You have found your soul, completely depleted. With no signs of Jesus in it. Come on. Can you be that honest this morning? That as you look back over your life and your walking crescendo, how you served for years, gave up yourself, people told you what you were, what you weren't. And when you look back, you realize that your soul was ravished, that you had nothing to sustain you, that you had nothing to stand on. And if it not be for God's hand on your life, that you would not even have made it out of depression and oppression, because that's what these churches do. They bind you in your mind. They bind you in your heart. They bind you in your spirit. They bind you in your soul. Oh, come on here today. And when you look up, you are not advanced in Jesus the Christ. You are lost in the sauce. Why am I saying this to you? Why am I preaching like this? Because I want you to understand that outlaws climb walls. But shepherds come through the gate. They come into the kingdom righteously. They come into the kingdom as they begin to trust and believe wholeheartedly with the Lord. They begin to see the kingdom because they believe the word of Jesus Christ. They believe the scripture. They believe that the scripture is still working. They believe that the scripture is not only working for their behalf, but now they believe that it's going to work on everybody else's behalf, that the Lord have them stand in the gap for. They begin to petition the Lord not only for themselves, but now they're petitioning the Lord for everybody else around them. Listen to me. They're no longer desiring to just be alone, but now they want all of their brothers and all of their sisters to come into the true wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ's freedom. Come on here. These shepherds, they come through the gate and they guard your inheritance. Why? Because they understand that the enemy presents himself before you to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. And you don't believe it yet. So they guard you. Come on here. They keep you. They work with all of the host of heaven, and they intercede on your behalf for you not to be found in the lower bowels of this world, for you not to be found in hell, but for you to find a place and enter into your mansion in eternity. Oh, come on here. We have a huge job to do, and we take it seriously. But if Jesus is the good shepherd and he's developed good shepherds that follow after him, then the question that's on the table is, what are you? What are you? What are you? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Are you wheat or are you tare? Come on here. You have to begin to ask yourself this question, so that you can find yourself and not eliminate yourself because you didn't even sit down and begin to analyze where you are in Christ Jesus. Come on. I talked about this on Tuesday. I said, listen, Jesus is a good shepherd because guess what? Not only is he whole and well kept, but guess what? He's going to make sure that you're whole and well kept. This is for all of you who are not well kept. And you're trying to say that you're in Jesus. But your life should look like it's well kept. Your life should be well kept. Jesus is going to take you through every aspect of your life, from your mind to your finances, from your home to your work life. Jesus is ever present. The Holy Spirit is ever present. Deliver you from danger. Come on here. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? Because goats are always running into danger. They never have discernment. They never see that there's a problem, that they're going the wrong way. They always running to danger. They don't want to be kept. I promise you. Because when you taste and when you see that the Lord is good, that his way is above your way, you don't want to go another way. You no longer run towards danger. You deliver yourself from danger. In other words, you are the one saying, I'm not going that way. No, I'm not doing that. I'm unavailable. And you're okay with that. Oh, come on, holy nation. When you are in the Jesus mold, you will find yourself uninjured. You'll find your mind and your soul and your body intact. Come on here. When you are in the Jesus mold, you become healthy. Your soul prospers. Your decision-making changes. You become stronger in defying your own nature. You become stronger in defying your old man. You become stronger in defying your Adamic self, your Adamic mind. You become stronger. Why? Because you are found intact. You are found clothed and in your right mind. You are now uninjured and you live a life of one who is whole and healthy. Come on here. Jesus mode. Jesus mode. Jesus mode. You do good work unto yourself. You find it good to silence your mind. You find it good to govern your tongue. You find it good to be concerned about where you put your being because you realize that you are a holy nation and that you're carrying all of Jesus Christ inside of you. And you're not just going to take him anywhere and place him anywhere to just do anything. Come on here. You become a good worker. Mastery becomes your lifestyle. I'm going to master being an overcomer. I'm going to master being more than a conqueror. I'm going to master being more than a conqueror. I'm going to master being an overcomer. Come on here. He already told you who you are. So when you walk through life, not mastering overcoming, not mastering being more than a conqueror, then you have already spoken out on your own behalf. You've already given your own testimony of who you are. Oh, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Because a goat lifestyle looks like something and a sheep's lifestyle looks like something. Oh, come on here. Do you exercise your authority from eternity? Do you exercise your identity? Do you practice the word of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning yourself? Do you put it into practice? Wait a minute. I know what I was yesterday, but I'm going to show out today, because today I am fully persuaded that I am a king, and I am going to rule, and I am going to reign over myself first. Do you put that into practice? Is that what you are interested in exercising from day to day? Or must we always exercise our feelings and our emotions? Must we always exercise how we feel about our life? Must we always exercise what's going on in the world and how we are impacted? Or do we exercise that we are in this world, but not of this world? Do we exercise the governance of eternity? Do we exercise that we are above and not beneath? Oh my God. Do we exercise Jesus mode, what he showed us, how he did it? Do we exercise? I am born of incorruptible seed. Do we exercise that? I bear the standards and the markers of eternity. Do we exercise that? Or are we talking about our natural birthmark? You know, my auntie had a scar on her stomach and I got one on mine. You know, I was birthed into this world. You know, all the kids in the family got a marker on their foot. You know, that's our natural markers. And we love to talk about our natural markers, our natural identity. But do we bear the standards and the markers of eternity? Do we love to talk about how we killed our flesh? We can't even sit around the table and have a real honest conversation about how we killed our flesh, because we're too busy trying to hide behind the fact that our flesh has risen up and we've fallen on it. We never even tried to fight. So we can't even have a real conversation to sharpen one another. Come on here. Because iron sharpens iron. Are y'all understanding me? We don't even know how to get ourselves out of crime. We don't know how to get ourselves out of the thief. We don't know how to get ourselves away from the one who climbed over the wall. So what we like to do is just join in. But that's not the Jesus mode. That's not the Jesus mode. Right? I need you to really think about, if Jesus is the good shepherd, then the question is, what are you? What voice are you following? What doctrine are you adhering to? Sheep or goat doctrine, wheat or tare doctrine. According to Matthew 13 and Luke 15, listen, I need you to walk in this kind of discernment. Wheat and tares grow together. Wheat and tares grow together. Is that not what it says in Matthew 13, 24 through 30? Who got it? Pull it up for me. Let's hit it quickly. And the next one I'm going to go to is Luke 15, 4 through 7. Give it to me in the CEB. Got it? Oh, not the CEB. Come on, what do you have?
I have the
Come on.
I have the modern English version, but I went to Luke.
Okay.
You said Matthew 24 and 30.
Mm-hmm. No, Matthew 13, 24 through 30.
I get it. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who planted good seed in his field. While people were sleeping, an enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and went away. When the stalks sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. The servants of the landowner came and said to him, "Master, didn't you plant good seed in your field? Then how is it that it has weeds?" "An enemy has done this," he answered.
Who did it?
The enemy.
And what did I tell y'all? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You cannot be a citizen of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be aware of his enemy's tactics, and his enemy's desire, and his enemy's job. It is the job of his enemy to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. So how do you walk from day to day like there isn't an enemy always lurking and following you? Always setting up holes and pitfalls for you. What would make you think that you can go through this life unaware of the tactics of the enemy of your soul? Oh, come on here. When God himself has a good life for you, but it just said what? While you were asleep, the enemy came in and did what?
Scattered the weeds.
Did what?
Scattered the weeds and seeds.
Are we lost?
Nope. The enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and went away.
He planted
weeds.
Weeds or tares? Weeds are tares. Weeds are tares. Come on, this scripture is saying something very deep and intentional, and you have to take it for what it's saying. What did it say? While you were asleep.
While people were sleeping, an enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and went away.
So if you are whole, and you are wholesome, and you are uninjured, and you are protected. Listen, while you're asleep, that means while you were not aware, not literally laying down asleep, while you didn't keep yourself aware of the motives of the enemy, you let down your guard and let the enemy in, and he has sown what? Weeds among you. And these tares are going to grow up right beside your new created spirit. Weeds have a tendency to do what?
Spread,
grow wild, but also something major. What do they do? Thank you. They destroy. They take from anything that's living around them. Oh, come on here. I know y'all want me to move faster. No, y'all don't, because y'all not to hit it and quit it, crew. Y'all like, go ahead, break it down some more. I need you to understand. So I am very passionate because I'm fully persuaded that there's an enemy always trying to take me out. And I need to make all of y'all aware that there's an enemy that's always trying to take you out, no matter where you are in your walk, because he has a permanent job. His job is permanent. He does not have a temporal job. He has a permanent job to kill, steal, and destroy the ecclesia. That's why scripture says, but if, what? Could be what?
Deceived.
But if the elect could be deceived. Come on here. Understand. You have a job. You have a job to discern. But you'll never be able to discern a good shepherd. And you'll never be able to be a good sheep. And you'll only live as a tare and as a goat without truth. Because truth is the only thing that makes you free. So those tares that are sown are things that keep you caught up and keep you out of truth. And the body of Christ right now does not want truth. It wants what it wants. Based on, what are those awards? The Stellar Awards? What do you call it? Based on the Stellar Awards and how it was presented. All right, go down to the end. Because it talks about a harvest. Come on, let me get, because I'm gonna make that point. Go ahead, finish reading. You were almost done. Let me let you finish.
Okay. The servants of the landowner came and said to him, "Master, didn't you plant the seed in your field? Then how is it that it has weeds? An enemy has done this," he answered. The servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them?" But the landowner said, "No." Uh-oh.
Do you want us to go and gather them? The landowner said, "No." What?
Because if you gather the wheat, you'll pull up the wheat.
Because if you gather the wheat, you will pull up the
wheat.
If you gather the weeds, you will pull up the wheat. Am I repeating it correctly?
Yes.
If you gather the weeds, you will pull up the wheat. Come on.
Along with them.
Along with them. No. Don't go tend to it yet. I'm well aware that an enemy has crept in. I'm well aware that the enemy has spread his little weeds. He's sown weeds into my good wheat. I'm well aware. Thank you, good servant. No, I do not want you to go and separate them right now. Why? Because if you disturb what's growing, you're going to destroy my outcome. Oh, come on here. Work on yourself. You're going to destroy my outcome. Because Jesus is always looking for a product. He's always looking for his product. He's always watching us. He doesn't care what comes our way. He's always watching our responses because he's looking for his product. He's looking for the markers of him in us to be what? The overcomer. He's looking for us to contend for our inheritance, to contend for our minds, to contend for our souls, to contend for us to be a harvest unto him. Come on here. Go.
Let both grow side by side. Until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll say to the harvesters, first gather the weeds and tie them together.
Wait a minute. Let them both grow until the harvest. Do you not know? Do you not know that there will be a harvest season? And we're not on, or should I say it like this, God is not on our time. He's on his time. No man knows the hours, what scripture says. Why? Because he wanted us to understand you will never know the hour that you will be judged. So live accordingly. No man knows the hour in which they will be judged. Come on here. Harvest reveals the markers. When he comes and he harvests you, what will be revealed? What markers will be on you?
First, gather the weeds and tie them together in bundles to be burned. But bring the wheat into my barn.
Okay. I told y'all earlier, Jesus leads the wheat. Jesus also burns the tares. Wheat and tares grow together. In your very soul, wheat and tares will grow together. In your very mind, wheat and tares will grow together. In your very heart, wheat and tares will grow together. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Come on. He's talking to us all the time about us. He's using parables, but if you can just tap in and understand, he's talking to you about you. The scripture was left for each and every one of us to find our way back to him, to understand how to get there. That's why I'm teaching today on this sheep or goat, wheat or tear, because we've already dealt with sentiments. Now, how are you going to be able to exist in the Jesus mold? Well, in the Jesus mold, you have to make a decision if you're going to be a wheat or tear. He's going to allow you to grow up, but your harvest will look different. Where you in when he comes to harvest you, when he comes to pull from you, where you end up is based on your choices of being a sheep or being a tear. Because the sheep, they're going to follow. The wheat is going to bend. The goat is going to be obstinate. The tear is going to destroy. Pride, always standing, stiff, can't bend. Oh, come on here. So the wheat and the tares grow together, and the harvest reveals the markers. I also taught y'all what on Tuesday? That Jesus comes for the one, right? A good shepherd is going to come for the one, right? He's going to leave the 99 and go after the one. Who has Luke 15, 4 through 7?
I do. Luke 15, 4 through 7. What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he places it on his shoulder, rejoicing.
Hallelujah. He's coming after the one because he know the one belongs to him. And he's going to lead those who are already in him to go get that one and bring them back on his shoulder. Right standing on his shoulder. What's on his shoulder?
The government.
Oh. Come on here. Come on here. So if scripture shows us that when he went after the one, he placed that one on his shoulder, that connected us right back to our eternal identity. That means that that one was placed back in his proper place because he was once lost. So when you preach this false gospel, that you can come to the church and remain the same, and then you don't bring people into God's governance, you bring them into your church governance, You are a false shepherd. Because scripture shows us, one, right here in Luke, that this one was returned to the mind of Christ. That this one was renewed in the spirit of his mind. That's why he went and got him. Come on here. He went and got him because he was showing the markers of eternity. He was no longer showing the markers of a lost one. So he came and got him. He came and gripped him up and put him in his rightful place. That's what Jesus does for you every day. And you throw it away. He comes and he sets you back in your rightful place. In some kind of way. Just as soon as you get back in your rightful place, you open up the door for the enemy to come in, to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. Jesus' mold returns us back to the governance of Jesus the Christ, which is rooted in truth and not delusions. When the shepherd comes for you, what is your response? When the shepherd comes for you, what is your response? Do you return on his shoulder in repentance or argue about how he rescued you? Come on here. That's for the clapback sheep that always have a problem with how they're being rescued. I didn't like the way you said it. I didn't like your tone. I didn't like that you came and got me on Saturday. Why didn't you wait for Monday? I think you should have did it on Tuesday and not on Wednesday. Come on here. Not even revering or respecting. Not even revering or respecting the role in the job and the responsibility of a good shepherd to keep you uninjured, to keep you well kept, to deliver you from danger, to cause you to begin to exercise and practice your true identity, to cause you to come into a mastery position of an overcomer. Come on here. To be honorable, to present you properly, to make proper decisions, to cause you to come into holiness and righteousness, to teach you how to live as an incorruptible seed. Oh, come on. No. Do you return on his shoulder in repentance or argue the rescue? Listen, your daily reactions are already testifying of you. Your daily reactions to correction, to how you live your life, to how you make decisions, how you're walking around, listen, is already testifying of you, your choices, how you live, how you think, what you want. You don't want Jesus, because some kind of way, another voice you always follow. How can you not remember the way of Jesus the Christ? How can you not remember the responses of Jesus the Christ? How is it that you always forget when it's time for you to be the standard? Your sentiments click in, they rule and reign, not your eternal identity. Humility marks sheep. I said that last week. Humility marks sheep. You are cloaked in humility. Why? Because just like that wheat, you can bend to the Father. You can bend to the will of the Father. It don't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's happening. God can speak through anything and get you back on track. And you know what your response is? I apologize. You instantly go into repentance. But many of you can't even bow down and worship. So I know you're not, you can't bow down before the Father. Because I mean, that's where we're worshiping. We're supposed to be there like the elders. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. We can't even bow down and worship. So I know we're not bowing down and repenting. Why? I already said it. Your daily reactions are already testifying of you. Sentimentality and stubbornness exposes goats. Your feelings, your wants, and your unwillingness to simply follow the scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I do nothing I did not see my Father do. How many of you saw in scripture Jesus standing there giving his Father the clapback? Telling the Father how he feels about a situation and what he thinks and how it should be done. Come on here. Because if I don't break this down and show you just how much you're not a good sheep, then I'm not a good shepherd. I'm leaving you to be a goat. I don't do that here. You may not like what I have to say, but if I'm lying, tell me, show it and prove it to me. But if I'm telling the truth, revere it, honor it, say thank you, and do something different. It's just the reality that we live in. If you want a different testimony, then you have to have a different mind. If you want a different testimony, then you have to operate from your new created spirit. You cannot operate from your false Adamic identity. You have to switch your identity out and make a decision about who you are from moment to moment, day by day. Here a little, there a little. Humility marks sheep. Sentimentality and stubbornness exposes goats. And your job is to give your leaders a good report by adhering to kingdom instructions. When you're blessed enough to have a leader that will give you kingdom instructions, not church instructions, not man-made instructions, not family instructions, not sentimental instructions, not binding instructions, not emotional instructions, but literally kingdom instructions, you have a job to do. And that's to prove that Jesus is alive in you. Jesus is alive in you. That's your job. So then the question remains on the table. What makes the shepherd in his sheep good? Right? We got to look at that. What's good? We like to say it's all good. No, Jesus is the only one that's all good. Jesus is all good. And many of us don't want to walk the life of Jesus Christ. But we'll say he's all good. Scripture already showed that he's all good. But we'll say that we're all good. And we're not even close to walking life like him. What does good look like? Good has sustainable markers. Not momentary vibes, nor momentary energy. Because right now, we are fighting and warring against vibes in energy. Vibes in energy. Vibes in energy. And these things are momentary and temporal. In other words, you're going to go into a service and they're going to give you some good vibes. They're going to tap into what makes you feel good because their vibes was vibing with you. They're going to give you some good energy. Give me good energy, good energy. Well, you know what good energy is? You know, queen, you look like the sunshine. And the sunshine is shining on you today. Keep hope alive. Good vibes and good energy. Those things are momentary. Because good has a component attached to it. Good has a component attached to it. Good is sustainable. Good is sustainable. Jesus was good all through his walk. He made the righteous decision when it came to every circumstance that was presented to him. Hey, I'll let you have all this. Just prove that you're God. Go ahead, jump off the roof. Go ahead, jump off the mountain. Go ahead, go ahead, condemn them because they're wrong. Listen, he had all kinds of setups. He had all kinds of roadblocks. He had all kinds of holes to fall into. But he was good. He was righteous. Not according to man, according to his father. He only did what he saw his father do. So he responded to the father despite whatever the natural conditions he was facing in that moment. Even when he said, what, could you, if it was possible, could you please just take this from, can I not have to go through this? And even in his father not responding, he knew what his duty was. Good. Good has a marker. Good is sustainable. Good is sustainable. That's for all of you who only have good vibes and good energy. Because if we catch you on a bad day, we're going to see just who you are. If we catch you on a good day, we're going to see the lie that you want to tell. But let us catch you on a raw day in a raw moment. You will not be able to sustain that good vibe and that good energy. Come on here today. But Jesus is Jesus all by himself. He is the standard of eternity, and he doesn't waver from situation to situation, but you do. And that is the marker of a goat and a tear, not the marker of a sheep nor wheat. Because we move with Jesus. We move with the Holy Ghost. We stay free in prayer. We stay free in worship. Come on here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What? They are mighty. Mighty and sustainable. They work every time. Good has sustainable markers, not momentary vibes nor momentary energy. Now, these markers, I just went over them and I'm going to break them down a little bit more. These markers deliver you from danger. These markers leave you uninjured, intact, and whole. Why am I repeating this? Because I want you to examine from moment to moment if you are uninjured, if you are intact, if you are whole. What are you doing from moment to moment to leave yourself in danger, to deliver yourself into danger? Because good is sustainable, and good delivers you out of danger and leaves you uninjured, intact, and whole. The good shepherd, what? His word restores us. His word makes us whole. His word introduces us to health. Health to our mind, health to our spirit, health to our soul, health to our body, because health makes us wealthy. 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 Health makes us producers. Producers make us wealthy. What you are able to produce from day to day will tell on you if you are able to what? Move forward healthy, holistically, and produce according to the will of the Father concerning your life. Good causes you to reverence and to perform. He does the Father's will. He honors the Father, and his favor follows him. And you have that same thing available for you when you revere and perform according to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the word is good. Oh, come taste and see that the word is good, because he is the word made flesh. Jesus was the word made flesh. Therefore, if you chew on this sustainable good word, guess what? It has to manifest and come to pass in your life. But because you don't think that it's good and good for you, you can never cause it to become a sustainable source for you. Come on. Because after that, after doing the will of the Father and honoring the Father, favor follows. I don't have false favor. I have eternal favor. No devils are blessing me. And I'm trying to say that it's Jesus. No manipulation, no witch, sorcery, any of those things are blessing me, and I'm saying that it's Jesus, because it's Jesus all day over here. I win with Jesus, and I'll go to hell with Jesus. I'm going up with Jesus. Either way, I got to stay in Jesus the Christ, even if it costs me everything. Why? Because he's good, and he's the only one that's good. He's the only one that's good for my soul. He's the only one that's good for my mind. He's the only one that's good for my heart. He's the only one that's good for my spirit. And from day to day, you must determine what's good for you. What's good for you? Because there's an eternal good and there's a temporal good. There's an eternal good and there's an earthly good. Mm. And you have to decide which one you want. It feels good. Remember that song? Yeah. It feels good. Yeah. You gotta, it feels good, good. Or you gotta, those who suffer with me will reign with me good. Come on here. Eternal or temporal? Eternal or temporal? Eternal or temporal? What good do you want? Because the good shepherd has you right now in front of him asking, what good do you want? What good do you want? And if you are a wise sheep, you're going to start learning how to live out eternal good and start destroying temporal good. If you are a good sheep, you're going to go back and listen to the lies we tell and the truth we elude and find yourself in those teachings and destroy every endemic nature that wants to raise up against the truth and the wisdom and the knowledge of eternity concerning you. Favor follows. Favor follows. Favor follows. I got to get out of here. I also taught you that blessed does not equal cars nor houses. That is not a marker of being blessed. A marker of being blessed is a life that fulfills the Father's will. Come on here. Until you can fulfill the Father's will, understand. He's covering you and giving you an opportunity to live the good life of eternity on earth as it is in heaven. Start, practice, and honor. I taught this on Tuesday. Jesus started the work so we can practice it and honor the Father by continuing it. There's nothing new under the sun. All you fake and phonies trying to develop new gospels. We don't need a new gospel. We need the canonized scripture. That's it. We don't need a new form. Because the scripture is still relevant to those who belong to him. My sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. I'm destroying these church doctrine that have gone forth that we need to preach something different for the congregation to come in. No, we don't. The canonized scripture is all that we need. And when you preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, those who belong to him will respond. Those who don't will not. Because the canonized scripture itself is a marker. Either it's going to speak back to you or it's not. And I'm not talking about intellectually. Because the true and living God is in his word. The Holy Spirit is in his word. And so we can sound smart. We can sound like we know the word, but can we live it? That's always going to be the marker between the sheep and the goat. The goat cannot keep the word. The sheep will always follow the word. The sheep will always depend on the word. The sheep will always run to the word. The sheep will always apply the word. The word, the word, the word, the word. Hallelujah. Is good for my soul. It's good for my mind. It's good for my heart. It's good for my spirit. It's good for me. Produce in abundance. He worked before the incarnation on earth, and he's still interceding on our behalf. I said on Tuesday, Jesus never complained to the Father, "Oh, Dad, I just went to earth. I did everything that you asked me to do. I went up on that cross. I died. I came back. I went to hell, got the keys. I came back. I showed everybody that I'm here. I revealed myself by my spirit." Listen, he never, and then he went up and he sat at the hand of the Father, and he's still working on our behalf. He's not complaining about his job. And we have a complaint about just living a righteous life, just being holy. Do I have to stop smoking? Do I have to stop clubbing? Do I have to stop drinking? Do I have to stop talking? Do I have to stop singing? Do I have to stop? Choose ye this day whom you will serve. That's all I have to say to that. Choose ye this moment whom you will serve, and a righteous sheep will be able to answer that question themselves. That's the problem. You're not righteous, and so therefore you don't ask yourself righteous questions. Therefore you can't lead yourself righteously, because at the beginning and the end of the day, you are still ruling you. Oh my God. If it was tap in Tuesday, that would be considered a knockout. Because Jesus had no complaints, just obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So what am I saying to you? I need you to exercise your identity. In order to walk in this Jesus mode, you have to exercise your identity. Authority over serpents and scorpions. Did I tell y'all that? I told y'all that. And one of the problems is you're not exercising that kind of power. You're allowing scorpions and serpents to bite you. You're allowing their poison to get into your veins. And you're not allowing the blood to work on your behalf. And you're not allowing your belief in the Father, nor his Son, nor the Holy Ghost to work with you to destroy serpents and scorpions. You are not treading. You are not walking. You're standing still in fear and anxiety, and you're opening up the enemy, the door for the enemy to have his way with you. And as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, I keep saying to you, use it. Exercise your identity. Exercise your identity. I was speaking with one of my mentees the other day, and I was sharing with them how I exercise my identity in the world. When people say it's going to take something a year or 2 years, and I already know it's not going to take me 2 or 3 years. I'm going to do that in 3 months. I lay down and begin to say, but this is what I would like to see happen. Knowing I'm just being worldly polite. But essentially, I'm telling them what's going to happen. Because I exercise and use my eternal identity wherever I go. Exercise it. Use it. Tread on serpents and scorpions. Anything that gets in your way, it's your job to destroy it. It's your job to confront it. It's your job to combat it. It's your job to bring forth on the earth with eternal power what the Lord thy God has set up for you. We take it by force. We're not waiting for it to happen. And the problem for many of you is that you're waiting for serpents and scorpions to bless you when your job is to tread on them. And once the thief be found, you're supposed to take back everything that's been stolen. Oh, come on here. Hear me today. I pray to God that you guys have an ear to hear, because I'm dropping and wisdom nuggets from eternity. I'm dropping strategy from eternity for you to advance in your walk and in your life. I also talked about what? The Matrix, right? I said, like Morpheus insisting that Neo was the one, when you're under a good shepherd, that shepherd has marked you as the one. So it's your job to stop murmuring about the process and respond like a found one, not the lost one. So either you want to be found or either you want to stay lost. But there's no need to have a shepherd that's marking you as the one and you are murmuring and complaining about the development and the process of what? Coming into your governance. because he went and got the one and put him on his shoulder. And that is what your shepherd is doing. Ah, you want to be close, but you don't want to produce like you're close. You want to be close, but you want to produce like you're lost. So where does the shepherd win in that? Where does Jesus win in that? Where does God win in that? Where does the Holy Ghost win in that? Becoming good requires a renewed mind. That's why you cannot be good, because you're not renewed in the spirit of your mind. Accept that, respect that, and do something about it. Becoming good requires a renewed mind and a practiced identity. You have to practice your identity. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Renewing the mind and practicing identity is all about what? The new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. So old things pass as you feed your mind with new things, with the fresh word, with the fresh manna that's coming forth. No new word, no new manna, no new life. No new word, no new manna, no new life. New mercies daily. This should keep you in your race. Don't quit after you fall. Don't quit after you fail. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. Respect the fact that you have to learn how to become more than a conqueror. Respect the fact that yes, you already are, but in your Adamic nature, you got to work your way out of that and work your way into your new creative spirit. And that is a process, and that takes exercise and practice, and you have to respect that. So don't quit after a fall. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. You need to repent, okay? You need to read and rehearse the truth of the word and perform from your new mind. Practice your eternal identity. Practice your eternal identity. Practice your eternal identity. I'm going to keep saying it because many of you don't put on your eternal identity. You wake up and you put on your earthly mask every morning. I'm good. No, you're not. You're no place near good. That's why you need the word. That's why you need worship. That's why you need prayer. But these things you're having a hard time developing in because your sentiments are in the way. The truth of the matter is there's all kinds of colds running in the background saying, I really don't want this. Oh my God. Repent. Read and rehearse the truth of the word. Perform from your new mind. Practice your eternal identity. Listen, you got to get into having an appetite for that bread. You need that daily bread. You need to eat that word daily. It's going to help your mind. It's going to help your soul. Because the word is good pastures. The word is designed to feed your new created spirit and to destroy your Adamic nature. But as I said on Tuesday or on Sunday, don't use scripture like a spell book. Because many of you use scripture to weave spells. And I'm telling you, you're going to weep hot coals. It's not going to work out well for you using God's word as spells. Consume it as a good substance that sustains you. Good sustains you. good is sustainable. The word is good. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Come taste and see that the word is good. Consume it as a good substance. Consume it as a good substance that will sustain you. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, according to Isaiah 59 and 19, the Spirit raises the standard. I said to you earlier, listen, a good shepherd does what? Lets you know that you are the standard bearer. What? You can stand in anything. You can stand in anything because you know that there's a fourth man in the fire with you. You know that you're coming through and you're coming out on top. Come on here. And there can be no fear according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7. Sheep do not live paralyzed by fear or anxiety. That is a direct marker of a goat. You even have goats that when they're afraid, they lay down, they freeze like they're dead. Is it true? True. Is it true?
Yeah, true.
So here's the main question. How are you freezing and laying down like a goat when you should be walking and treading over serpents and scorpions? See, he said that he has given you power to tread. Tread is an action. It's walking. It's stomping. It's putting. It's destroying what's under it. But fear and anxiety will cripple you. It will paralyze you and cause you to stop having movement. I'm telling y'all. Your life is telling on you. Your life is telling on you. Your life is telling on you. Your life is telling your decisions. You're already testifying if you are a sheep or if you are a goat by your choices, by your reaction, by your action, by your inability or your ability to respond righteously to every situation. Sheep do not live paralyzed by fear or anxiety. That's not the spirit that God has given us. It's not. With that being said, I need you to remember, practicing identity looks like laying your life down. The reason why you're crippled with fear and anxiety is because you have not laid your life down. So you are afraid of dying. But when your life is found in Christ, do you realize you're already dead? Oh, I said something. Come on here. Practicing identity looks like laying your life down like your shepherd. You should be dead. And you're always showing off that you're not, because you always have feelings and emotions that you're wrapped up in. Lay down your life and follow. According to Matthew 16, 24 through 25, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Scripture has already said that we're supposed to deny ourselves. So we already know that we're going down the road of a goat or a tear because we can't follow. There's no second guessing. Is what we like to do is say, is that what the Bible really says? No, the Bible is clear. Scripture is clear. The canonized word is clear. What we want to do is change it up and make it unclear because we want a path. We want to be like the thief and the outlaw. We want to enter in by climbing over the wall. All right. According to the CEB, say no to themselves, take up their cross and follow. Have you mastered saying no to yourself? Have you mastered saying no to yourself? We had a whole ice cream exercise yesterday, and we did not master saying no to ourselves. I did. I wasn't the one that said that I wasn't eating ice cream. It was not me. I just want you to know. I want to put it on public record. I never said I wasn't eating ice cream, but somebody in the bunch said, hold me accountable to not eat sugar. And they was the first one ready to go and get that ice cream. Some of us have not perfected in denying ourselves. Listen, we all got areas where we have not perfected denying ourselves. My only point is that it's something that we have to master. Like, we can't be the ones constantly vacillating between the yes and no. Like, we can't even sustain a yes for a year. We haven't even gotten in the game to fight for a yes for a year. You understand what I'm saying? Because what did I say? It's practice. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But you got to get on the winning side. And on the winning side, we're practicing. All right, I didn't do too well today. But you know what? If you look at your record and it went from every second to every 5 minutes, that's an advancement. Respect your own advancement. And they're like, no. Because the enemy is going to keep coming in. But you got to be able to say no. And sustain your no. Your no to the enemy and your yes to the king. Both of them must be sustained. You have to sustain your no to the enemy and your yes to the king. Both of them have to be sustained. The problem is we want to sustain our yes to the enemy and our no to the Father. Come on here. And then we just want to say, well, we're weak or we're just human. Not when scripture says we're in this world, but not of this world. You have to start practicing flipping that thing. And that's what he never expects for you to do. He never expects for you to flip it on him. He expects you to always be the running, the whining, the scary, the one riddled with anxiety. He already has written out that you are an easy target. He already has said she is an easy target. He is an easy target. Only thing we got to do is put right before them what they want and then allow God to keep talking. Because God is going to always put before you what he wants. And the enemy knows the only thing he has to do to interrupt that thought process is put before you what you want. And you're going to be the weakest link. I know I need to read my word. But before I read my word, let me go get that ice cream. And before you know it, you're going to get that ice cream. Because when you get that ice cream, you're going to also say, while I'm eating this ice cream, let me scroll on Facebook. See, it's a setup. And I taught y'all months and months ago that what? This is a web. It's not one thing. It's never one thing. There's a whole communication system with the setup. Which is why you just got to have a no. Just got to have a no. You cannot have a partial no. You cannot be like, I don't want this part. I don't want the ice cream. I just want the cone. You're going to put some ice cream in the cone. Even if you start out just biting the cone. Come on here. Yeah. But y'all know I'm going to take it to the... Because you can understand what I'm saying. Can't y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then if you apply this to the more complex things that's running in your soul, you'll be able to break through and see where the enemy is really holding you and playing you and where you're in agreement, where you didn't even realize you were in agreement, that you didn't even try to put a fight in because you didn't know you needed to fight in that area. Come on here. That's why y'all call me the knockout. Because I knock out things that you never saw coming your way. You didn't see it on your plate. You may have seen the ice cream. You may have seen the cone, but you didn't see the chocolate. You didn't see the caramel and you didn't see the sprinkles. But yet you found yourself sitting there wondering, why am I eating sprinkles and caramel and chocolate? I don't even like these things. It's a network. It's a network. It's a network. So you, as a sheep, have to be the one to deny yourself. No thief and no outlaw is ever going to help you say no. With that being said, many want a good shepherd without becoming good sheep. That's the marker of the fake, the uncommitted, and also the unfit. This is a duty. Being in Christ Jesus is a job. It's a duty. It's a call to an office to sustain and to continue his gospel. How many times must I say this to you? It's not about you. It's about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Real sheep are clothed in humility, grateful for correction and quick to obey. Real sheep. Because y'all know how y'all like this. I want a real one. I like a real one. Keep it real. Well, when real shepherds keep it real with real sheep, they don't respond out of their sentiments, out of their emotions, and out of their wants. They respond out of what they're cloaked with. And they're cloaked with humility, gratefulness, and obedience. This is why I take the time to teach you about sentimental identity from culture and why it also must die. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, Jesus is looking for real sheep, those who worship him in spirit and in true identity from eternity with evidence of rulership. Where is your evidence of rulership? Because that's what this is boiling down to. The Jesus mold is evidence of your rulership, evidence of your obedience, evidence that you have none before you but the Father, evidence that you desire for Jesus Christ's testimony to live in you, that verily, rarely I say unto you, I do nothing. What? So with that being said, I want you to take some serious questions to prayer. I want you really to look at yourself, to analyze yourself. Take this to your altar. I pray to God that each of you have a place where you meet Jesus Christ, meet the Holy Spirit, and meet the Father every day at the same time to listen, go in and get your instructions, because that's what Jesus did. And so if we live in the Jesus life, then our life really should look like his. But the questions that I want to pose to you, and I pose them, I'm going to continue to pose them. Am I whole? Am I well kept? Am I delivered from danger? Am I uninjured and intact? Am I honorable? And I'm not slowing down. This is going to cause you to have to go back and watch it again and pause and all of that. Are my choices righteous? Do I exercise my spiritual rights and practice my identity? Do I embody power from eternity or live as a pure weakness? Do I revere the Father enough to be a doer and not a complainer? Your posture is telling on you. Your posture is telling on you. Your posture is telling on you. Stop playing spiritual Russian roulette. If he begot you, your life should show it. You are the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. Live like it, practice it, and exercise it. Live like it. Practice it, exercise it. Jesus, the good shepherd, laid down his life. He descended, took the keys, rose, revealed himself, ate with his disciples, and ascended. Then sat at the right hand of the Father. I keep saying this because I don't want you to forget all that he has done for you. all that he has done for you to be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He started the work, we continue the work. Reign Embassy right here is not a new idea, but it is an eternal idea. And it is a continuation of his eternal government on earth right now, today. I want you to understand that. I need you to understand that. I have no other reason to get up here and do this every Sunday and every Tuesday. I am doing it because God has to get the glory from my life. And what is the glory from my life? To teach people, those who are called by his name, how to rule and how to reign on earth as it is in heaven. And I do my job. I will contend with you. I will fight with you until you decide you want to win. Mind you, I never said lose, right? I said, until you decide that you want to win. So stay in the faith, contend for your identity, for as he is, so are we in this world. I am Apostle Johnita Collins. God bless each and every one of you. I will see you on Tuesday for Tap In Tuesday. And until then, continue to contend for your inheritance. God bless you.